Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? It is a tremendous honor to be here today. You have a beautiful facility. This is a beautiful place to come and worship. You got a great pastor and pastor's wife. I give honor to them. I'll say a little bit more later, but it is an honor to be here. If you have your Bibles and you would like to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, I've been told that I'm on a very tight time schedule. Well, that may not be totally true. Amen. Amen. I think about this passage. I probably think more about this passage than I do any other passage in the New Testament, possibly with the exception of Acts chapter 2. Let's read this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I say again, it's a tremendous honor to be with you. And so, Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In my mind, this passage is the greatest law of life and living. So, if you want a title, it's the inescapable law of sowing and reaping. Amen. The law of sowing and reaping, again, to me is the greatest. It's the greatest law of life. And this law says, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Every seed that we plant produces a return that's harvested back into our own life. Amen. The word whatsoever a man soweth, that means that nothing is off the table. Anything that you sow is going to come back to you. Every action, whether good or evil, every word, kind or unkind, every act of submission or rebellion, every act of kindness and generosity or selfishness, every act of trustworthiness or disloyalty, everything comes back to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be surprised when a seed grows in your life that reproduces a mirrored reflection of how you have treated someone else. Because like an echo, what you say, what you do is going to come back to you. And here's the thing about this law. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, after Noah exited the ark, the Lord God said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God promised that as long as the earth remains, there was going to be a time of sowing and there was going to be a time of reaping. It's the immutable law of God. God gave his word that sowing and reaping, sowing would always be followed by harvesting. And being aware of the immutability of this law will help us control our conduct. If I know that what I do is going to come back to me, then I need to be careful in the things that I do, how I act, and how I react. A related law was instituted in the very beginning, known as the law of reproduction. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, God commanded for the earth to bring forth different types of grass and herbs and trees, and for these to reproduce after their kind. And so in verse 12, Genesis chapter 1, the grass, herbs, and trees brought forth after their kind. If you fast forward and you read in verse 21 and 22, you're going to find out that great whales and every living creature in the sea and every fowl brought forth after their kind. Verse 24 and verse 25, the cattle, every beast of the field, they brought forth after their kind. And so the law of reproduction declares that you will always reproduce what you are. That's all that you can reproduce. And the law of sowing and reaping declares you will always harvest exactly what you have sown. Both of these laws are based on the incredible reproductive nature of seeds. A farmer goes into his field and he plants, he plows, he plants, and what grows in his field is dependent solely on the seed that he has planted. You will never plant watermelon seeds and grow tomatoes. That never happened. You'll never plant pumpkin seeds and get oranges. That doesn't happen. Two seals will never reproduce a stingray. The only thing they can reproduce is another seal. Two turkeys will never reproduce a swan. And though both are black and white, two Dalmatians will never reproduce a panda. It just doesn't happen. Because the law states the seed will always reproduce after its kind. And what is true with seeds is true with deeds. It always reproduces after its kind. And reproduction is always, it's always after its kind, and it does not matter how unique the seed or the deed is, it reproduces itself. Judges chapter 1. Judah and Simeon pursued the Canaanites and the Perizzites in Bezek, and there they slew 10,000 men. They caught Adonibezek, the lord of Bezek, or the king of Bezek, and they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. What in the world would possess Judah and Simeon to cut off this lord's thumbs and big toes? Where does that thinking come from? Adonibezek tells us, he said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and great toes cut off, ate at my table. And then he said, as I have done, so God hath requited me. He said, I have done this to myself. That's why my thumbs were cut off. So the law, this law of sowing and reaping, it works in every area of life. I once heard a mother bitterly complaining about her daughter's unfaithful mate. He embarrassed her so bad, he brought his girlfriend to the house when he picked up the girls. And I wanted to say, that's because of what she sowed in her first marriage. I wanted to say, I stood with your first son-in-law and watched him cry, tears streaming down his face because of your daughter's antics. You cannot sow things and walk away as if nothing happens. It's the law of sowing and reaping, and it's nothing to be trifled with. This law of sowing and reaping applies to every area of life. Giving is a very important part of serving God. Giving is how we lay up treasures in heaven. We invest in the church through tithing. That belongs to God anyway. Through offerings, we support missions. We support the building fund. Man, it seems like everybody needs finances. I was teaching or preaching Brother Sawyer's 33rd anniversary service. I had got finished teaching, the kids had come out. The young man's dad that I was sitting on the front row with, he's an 8-year-old boy, Brother Thompson's son. His dad had collected the offering, and then after they came out, his dad collected the tithing. And then on the heels of that, he said, now we've given Brother Sawyer several gifts, but now we want to take him up an offering. And this little boy leaned over to me and said, my dad's going to rob us blind. It's giving. It's what we do. And God has promised. It's the law of sowing and reaping. God has promised that if you will give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It's going to come back to you. Everything that you give will come back. And the Lord told us, with the same measure that you meet, it's going to be meted back to you. If you give in thimble-sized offerings, then the thimble is going to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you give in cup-sized blessing, it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's going to come back to you in cup-sized blessings. The cup is going to be pressed down, shaken together, and mounded up, running over. But it'll come to you in cup-sized blessings. And if you give in barrel-sized blessings, the barrel is going to come back to you. Don't you ever think for one minute that God can't give back to you in barrel sizes. The same measure that you meet, that you give out, it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and came to prove him with hard questions. She came with a very great company and camels bearing spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. Verse 12 tells us, if you look at verse 12, that when the queen was leaving Jerusalem, King Solomon gave her all her desire whatsoever she asked. Was there anything you liked? I'm going to give it. Was there anything that would look good in your home? And he gave it to her. But the verse goes on to say, besides that which she had brought unto the king, everything that she gave was given back to her. She brought camels loaded down with spice. She brought gold in abundance. She brought precious stone. And all of that was given back to her. It's the law of sowing and reaping, and it applies to your finance. Here's another aspect of this law. When people are kind, when they're helpful, what a comfort it is. Sometimes I feel bad when folks are kind to me. You know, it really is better to give than to receive. I'm thankful. What a comfort it is to know that their seeds of kindness that they've sown in my life will reproduce a pleasant return into their life. God promised Abraham, I am going to bless those that bless you. It's going to come back to them. And that's why you receive blessings. Psalms chapter 54, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. In other words, God is my helper's helper. He's helping them to be a blessing to me, and whatever they do in my life is going to come back to them. On the other hand, when people are unkind, when they undermine, when they're mean-spirited. Their seeds of unkindness that's sown in my life will become deeds of unkindness that's going to grow in their life. You don't have to take vengeance on yourself. It's a law. It's absolutely a law. What they sowed into my life, the unkindness that they sow into your life, you don't have to defend yourself. That's what God does for you. That's the promise of God. I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them. It's going to come back to them. If you strike back at people that hurt you, you've taken vengeance out of the hand of God. July 4th, 2013, our family was celebrating Aaron's 30th birthday in addition to the holiday. They had a big day planned. And a woman begins to text my wife just out of the blue and berate her. My wife showed me the text. I said, well, you know, you have to respond. And the text kept coming. And finally, I got involved. I sent her a text. This is July the 4th. It's our son's 30th birthday. If you don't mind, could you continue this text thread later? And I told my wife, going down Dummy Line Road, I said, this was mean-spirited, this attack on us was mean-spirited. She knew it was the 4th of July, and she knew it was our son's 30th birthday. I didn't wish for anything to happen to her, but I knew it would. 4 years later, it was Christmas morning. She called us. We had spent Christmas Eve with our kids. We had went up to Festus, Missouri to be with other family. She called us 7 o'clock in the morning, and she is just boo-hooing. Her husband told her that night, I'm going to divorce you, and there's nothing you can. He told me the same thing, Brother Dutton, there's nothing you can do to change my mind. And the thing that she kept saying over and over and over on the phone, the least he could have done was not tell us this over Christmas holiday. And I thought of the 4th of July. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And it applies to every life, in every area. Getting away with not harvesting what you have sown is not an option. I remember Brother Bowling telling a story one time. He was planting some seeds in his dad's garden. And Brother Bowling is my brother-in-law. He said he got to the end of a row and he had just a few seeds left. And he didn't want to take the time to plant them, so he just threw them out and covered them up. That doesn't work too well. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall, oh my goodness, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the kind, they shall obtain kindness. Blessed are the generous. Generosity is going to come back into your life. Whatever you sow, sow good things. Another facet of this law is that you reap in greater measure than what you sow. Your harvest is always going to be greater than what you give out. Ask King David, who sowed an act of adultery, of murder, and reaped terrible consequences back in his own life 4 times. And you remember this. The longer that it takes for the seed to produce and for it to come back to you, the more time that it has had to reproduce. I pastored a man for about five years. Really, I pastored his wife. He was just associated with the church. Several years before I became the pastor, he was cheated by his brother out of $1,500. And Sister Kay, who came to our church, precious, precious lady, she had mentioned that to me several times. In fact, it was one of the last conversations she and I had. It bothered her so bad that this man was supposed to be a Christian, and he cheated my husband out of $1,500. How can you do that? We were standing right by the door on the inside at the back row, in the back row. And I said, Sister Kay, you may not see it, But this is the law of sowing and reaping. And what he has done is going to come back to him. It's a law. It's inescapable. She passed away. Her husband that was cheated passed away. And after that, the man, the brother that had done the cheating, began coming to our church. And it wasn't very long. It was about 6 months later. After they started coming to the church, they came in the door of the church. I was standing on, right on the, just on the other side where I told her. I said, Kay, the only thing you need to do is make sure you forgive. Don't carry this to your grave. It's just one of the, she died not shortly after that. On the other side of the doorway, about 6 feet where I said this was going to come back to him, that family came in, the husband and wife, they were elderly. She was crying. He was upset. My sister sold a possession of my mother, and my mom, before she died, wanted us to have it, half of it. She said she cheated me out of $15,000, 10 times to the penny. It's the law of sowing and reaping, and you cannot get away from it. Another attribute of this immutable law is it comes back in unexpected ways at unexpected times. In Genesis chapter 27, Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau, heard her husband tell her eldest son Esau, go to the field, hunt venison, make me some savory meat, and after that, after I eat, I am going to bless you. And so Rebekah formulates a plan. She loved her youngest son. She formulates a plan. Jacob, you're going to receive your brother's blessing. Let's pretend that you're your brother. I'll make savory meat such as your father loves. But mom, this ain't going to work because he's going to lay his hands on me and he's going to feel that I'm not as hairy as my brother. And besides the voice, she said, we've got that covered. We're going to cover you with the skin of a goat. Can you imagine being that hairy? And so you're going to get your brother's blessing. And so everything goes off without a hitch except other than a really angry brother. Jacob walks away with the blessings of God on his life. And we forget about the deception. We forget about the deception he and his mother pulled off. It looks like he gets away with it until one morning after his wedding night, he pulls back the tent flap. The law of sowing and reaping is amazingly accurate, unbelievably accurate. He pulls back the tent flap and he is stunned to see the ugly older sister in his bed. Was that you? The Bible captures the moment by saying, and it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. So Jacob finds his father-in-law. Why have you done this to me? He's red-faced. He's indignant. I serve you for Rachel, not Leah. It's been preached many times that Jacob argued intently, this is not the deal that we made. And to be fair, it wasn't the deal, but it was the identical seeds of deception that he and his mother had sold into the life of his brother and father. The fraud was made possible by the deception, their deception. Even though, listen to this, even though Isaac had passed down the blessings of the God of Jacob on the God of Abraham on Jacob's life, the law of sowing and reaping still applies. You'll never be so anointed that this doesn't apply. Jacob could say, I did not bargain for this. He could not say, I did not sow this. Jacob, with the help of his mother, deceived his father. Leah, with the help of her father, deceived Jacob. Jacob's mother, in order to help her son steal his brother's birthright, said, let's pretend that you're your brother. Leah, father, in order to help his daughter steal her sister's husband, said, let's pretend that you're your sister. You see how this works? Amazingly accurate. In order to pull off the ruse, Jacob's mother covered him with the skin of goats. In order to pull off the ruse, Leah's father covered her with a wedding veil. It's amazingly accurate. Jacob, do you remember doing this to yourself? Genesis chapter 27, verse 27, Jacob came near and his father kissed him and smelled the smell of the raiment and was convinced that this was his son Esau. Don't think for one minute that Leah, when Jacob came near to her and he kissed Leah, he was not seduced by the smell of her perfumed body. The examples in the Bible go on and on. Joseph, the beloved son, comes calling on his brothers that are tending the family's flock in the lower 40. The brothers conspire to get rid of him. And eventually, they sell him to the Midianites. They rend Joseph's coat of many colors. They take it to their father. Many years later, Jacob sees his dream that he had told his brothers about. The 11 stars bowing down to me. He sees it coming to pass. He sees his dreams coming true. Listen as Joseph. Joseph is listening to his brothers. This is years down the road. And they come to get food from him in Egypt. And they do not realize it's their brother. Genesis chapter 42, verse 21. He's listening to them lament. Verily, we are guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul and he besought us and we would not hear. And they said, for this reason is this distress come upon us. We have done this to ourselves. There's a reason that the Bible highlights God's record keeping. God is careful to judiciously record every action, every word, and every thought that we have. Solomon summarized the conclusion of the whole matter, saying, "Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." Jesus took very seriously his instruction for you to lay up treasures in heaven for yourself, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Nothing that you lay up in heaven is going to be missing. Everything that you have given. Here's the deal with the law of sowing and reaping. It does not end when you die. You are a wise man, a wise woman to invest in the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 9, we read about a woman whose name was Tabitha, called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she had done. Nevertheless, she died. And the women laid her in the upper chamber, and they sent to Joppa for Peter, desiring that he would come to them without delay. And when he was come, he went into the upper chambers. And the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had sewed. It was the good things that she had sewed, the garments that she made while she was with them. Enter the law of sowing and reaping. Just because you lay your life down, it pays to serve God. Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, prayed, turning to the body. Tabitha arrived. She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. I'm telling you that it pays. It pays to invest in the kingdom of God. You are not wasting your life living for Jesus Christ. There's a payday. God is intent. He's going to repay you. He's going to repay you for your investment in his kingdom. Jesus, the good Samaritan, said to the innkeeper, "Here's 2 pence. Take care of this hurting traveler." that I'm leaving in your care. Now understand this. There's a good chance, Mr. Innkeeper, that you're going to have some out-of-pocket expenses. When I get back, and I am coming back, I'm going to repay you for anything above and beyond. You're going to be rewarded. I'm telling you that in this life, you're going to get back everything that you have given to the poor and the hurting, that you've invested in the kingdom of God. It's going to come back to you in this life. It's going to come back to you, but it's going to come back abundantly in the life to come. I'm telling you, it pays to live for God. It's the law. It's the inescapable law of sowing and reaping. You must believe that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. So obedience to the word of God. So submission to spiritual authority, your pastor. So praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sow a prayer life, sow to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It's going to come back to you for an eternity. It's going to come back to you forever and ever. It's the great law of life, and it's the great law of eternity. Would you lift up your hands and your voice, and let's worship the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. We give honor to you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your great mercy, for all that you have done. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you for every blessing of life. We love you, mighty God. Blessed be the name of... Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's what you call a timely man right there, 10:35 on the dot. You know, while he was speaking, it occurred to me that sometimes when we think of this, that one of the greatest lies that the devil ever whispers to you is every bad thing is something that you sowed. Look at all the bad things happened to Jesus. He didn't sow that stuff. And we live in a broken world, and there are many things that happen to us. And it's we live in a world where bad stuff happens. But it is our response to those things. When we are treated unfairly, that's where we take control over bad things sowed to us, and we sow mercy, we sow grace, we sow forgiveness. And I was talking to someone a couple of months ago, and there somebody was doing something. I said, you know, the Bible says if you bless them, you pray for them, that you heap fiery coals on their head. Yeah. And so the greatest way to see justice in circumstances is for you to sincerely from the heart pray for God's mercy on them. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dutton. That was good. Selah. Well, we have a few minutes, and then we'll start worship service.